Here is the managing general and president of basketball for the Toronto Raptors. Masai Ujiri is with us. So, how are you, by the way?
How you doing, Bob?
I'm good.
How you doing, Ken?
Great, Masai. Thanks.
Is there a president of hockey operations for the Toronto Raptors?
President of hockey operations.
How about baseball operations? Any other sport?
Hey, all I know is the Blue Jays, man. That's what's it right now.
It's pretty it, isn't it?
Of hip.
Are you a baseball fan?
I watch the playoffs. I don't watch like a full game, but I follow the Blue Jays like a lot.
It's sort of addictive, isn't it? And I'm sure you sit there and you say, you know, we've had a couple of good seasons here, but if we ever make a run like these guys, wow, this city will explode. I mean, that's got to be in your mind, isn't it?
It's incredible. Like what they're doing up there is huge. I hope those guys make it all the way. It just looks like the team is built that way. And as much as I know about baseball, and I don't know much, but it's fun to watch. It's fun to see in the city and the whole country. Like everybody is pulling for them, and we've got the fans, Bob. We always said it. You know, like people are always down on Raptors and Blue Jays and blah, and our city and is not doing well and all that stuff. It'll come around. I guarantee you'll come around for all the teams, because the fans, the city, the country deserve it, you know?
So you have a substantial number of Americans on your roster who come to Toronto for the basketball season. Do you know if they assimilate with the other teams in town? I mean, do you think players, if they play in a city, tend to keep an extra eye, maybe become fans of a baseball team, a hockey team, one of the other sports?
Oh, 100%. They all do it. I know a lot of them are following the Blue Jays. 100%, Bob. They all do it. You know, that's sports.
Right? Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And everybody is glued to what's going on. You know, especially with success, you know, it becomes addictive. I know our players are that way, 100%. And I know how many players from TFC, from the hockey team. I know all those guys used to come to our games last year, you know, and the year before. They all come, you know, and we're rooting for them. I really hope they go all the way.
It's kind of a fraternity, if you will. I want to talk about the Anthony Bennett signing because it's intriguing to me. I was surprised that you signed him. Not because I'm not an Anthony Bennett fan. You know, I'm a UNLV guy. And so I probably saw Anthony Bennett play as many or more games than almost anybody in this city when he was at UNLV. And he was obviously impressive. Not to the point where I could even imagine him being the number one pick overall. And I think that surprised a lot of people. But he certainly demonstrated a skill set. It hasn't worked out so far. Well, first question, why do you think it has been a struggle for Anthony Bennett to perform and to get minutes in his still brief NBA career?
Well, first of all, what you just said, you know, like, I think that that's the bare truth. You know, I think everybody looked at it in somewhat that way, and when we do, you know, it automatically puts pressure on a kid, you know, and I think he had a slow start and getting in shape, he had the asthma thing. There's so many things, you know, that kind of contributed to all of that, and then, you know, expectations start building and building, and then you don't meet them as much. But to be honest, it's all behind, I think. You know, this is a new chapter for him. And when you ask that question, Bob, and say, why would we do it? Selfishly, I'll say to you, on our part, I've signed tons and tons of minimum players, and I don't even remember some of their names because the success rate is, you know, you're taking a chance on a kid. So I'd say, on the selfish part, on our part, for a minimum to get a number one player just a couple years ago, I think it's a no-brainer. But on his part, I feel it's a good chance for him. You know, he has to come in, he has to prove himself, he has to fight, he has to. But we want a new Anthony Bennett in a way where it's not the pressure of being a number one pick anymore. You know, like, that's gone. We want to figure out the basketball player that he can become, not what happened in Minnesota or what happened in Cleveland or all those places. I think that's all gone now. And I told AB, hey, we have to figure it out here. And I think he settled in a little bit last day or so, and he's in training camp, practiced well today, and we'll see how it goes.
It's, you know, I'm not surprised that you sign him for all the reasons that you mentioned. You know, a minimum contract, a one-year deal. The surprise comes that you have depth at the position that he plays, and extreme depth. It is, I mean, what's the scenario under which this guy gets any significant minutes, given the roster, given the guys on the depth chart that appear at this moment to be ahead of him?
I think it's all about development, Bob. You know, and it's he needs to develop. I think we wanted to put him also in a situation where it's a growing team. We're not by any means a great team or a veteran team where, you know, everything is completely set in stone. You know, like, but he has to come and compete against good players, you know, pretty good players. Patrick Patterson, James Johnson, Louis Scola. Those guys are all going to play the four position. Damari Carroll will play the four position a little bit too. So, it's a part where we want to make him comfortable, where he's actually coming and competing. But we're trying to develop him. He's putting in the work. He's putting in the work on his body. He's putting in the work on in conditioning, and for us it's a 1 year minimum deal, but we see this as a long-term thing, you know, like, where he continues to develop and make progress with us.
Masai, did his play this summer do anything to convince you to give him that deal, or would have given him that deal just based on his play in the NBA the last couple of seasons?
I think based on his talent, Ken, honestly, either way you look at it, you know, I think he did a good job this summer. I think he worked on his body, he got in shape a little bit. He overcame a couple little nicks and bruises, injuries here, and, you know, he played with passion. You saw it, you know, and I think that was the beginning for him. So regardless, I hate to say it like this because it is a selfish way of looking at it from a management standpoint, or from where I sit, to get a guy that athletic, that big, that skilled, for a minimum contract, from a number one guy, we can say all what we want, you know. I think on our part, it's a no-brainer for us to take a chance on a kid. But it's not it's a one-year deal, but for us, we're looking at it as development, see how he develops and continues to progress as a player.
Minnesota allegedly attempted to deal him. Did you talk to Minnesota about the possibility of a trade? Was your interest apparent at that point?
We did have a couple conversations, you know, like we inquired a couple times, you know, but it didn't never led to anything, you know. So we thought we would be patient and see what comes of this, and maybe we were lucky, you know, for him to fall in our lap.
Well, yeah, I would think so. You gave up nothing for him.
Masai, I want to ask you about Kyle Lowry. Was he sending you pictures of his abs during the summer as they progressed? When did you say, oh man, this dude's jacked? Did you just see him for the first time the other day?
No, I saw pictures too online, you know. There were a couple pictures online way before. So I saw a couple pictures of him before, and he put it on himself, you know, like how he said he's going to get in shape and just bust his butt and come back kind of with a different look, different player. And Tell you what, I watched practice this morning and it was pretty good. It makes it. You can tell, you know, he feels good about himself. But that's the challenges of players, and that's how Kyle is. You know, he's a competitor, and he did it last year. Everybody made a fuss about him coming back. He's now paid. He might be out of shape. He might this. He might that. He won't care. Here he is caring, and here he is. You know, like a really. Taking it as a challenge, especially the way the season ended. So from my standpoint, you can't ask for anything better.
Did you guys challenge him to do this, or did he challenge himself to do this over the summer?
He challenged himself 100%. This was all him, you know, because we've been trying to figure out, you know, what went wrong last year and how did we the end of the season was so disappointing, you know, but right after, you know, we met with Kyle in June, you know, like, and he put it on himself that this is what he was going to do, and this is, and he's done it. He's coming in unbelievable shape, unbelievable, and it's really amusing to see.
He was hurting at the end of the season, if I remember correctly, Masai. He missed some games down the stretch, and then was subpar in the postseason. Did you believe, or did he believe, that his performance? Let's just say in the playoffs was as a result of not being in good enough physical shape.
I don't think he believes it was specifically that, you know, like I think, honestly, Bob, I started having a funny feeling about our team in January, you know, and I take responsibility for the composition of the team because I don't think it was composed well. After evaluating, people made all this noise at the end of the season about Dwayne or about. For me, the composure, how the team was composed and put together. I think we did a bad job in the kind of players and that we put together. Especially defensively. So,
well, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, I mean, this the downside was that this team, after playing good defense 2 years ago, suddenly seemed either unwilling or unable to play good defense for most of last year. I mean, I assume that's what you're talking about.
Yes, I think we were just the composure of the players. You know, I mean the way the kind of players. Sorry, I don't know if I'm using the right word. The kind of players that we brought. And I hate to mention names, you know, like, but we didn't play well defensively, you know, we became an offensive team and we relied on scoring and that doesn't win big in the NBA. And I put that on myself, you know, for putting that type of, team together, you know, like, so everything just started going, the other way for us. So I didn't look at Kyle Lowry and look at him being in shape or whether he was in shape or not. Just for me, the overall, the way the team was put together, wasn't very good.
Probably a better question for Case rather than for you, but when you come to realize, I guess every coach starts the season with a philosophy. This is how the coach wants the team to play. Mm-hmm. Almost invariably, that has to be tweaked because certain things you want them to do, they're maybe not able to do or aren't good enough to do well enough. Was part of the problem last year a reluctance, an unwillingness, a refusal to adapt to what this team was best at doing, which clearly seemed to be put the biscuit in the basket?
Yes, I think... I think they adapted well to that. It wasn't up to standard. We just weren't up to standard. And I said it again, you know, I put that on me. We were a high offensive team, great offensive team. Well, I think we finished top three in the NBA. I know we finished in the top five, for sure. So, we've played the whole year in the top three, but where does that get you? You know, that some of the high-powered offensive teams, like whether it's a Golden State or those guys defended, and they were also a top team defensively. So You have to play on the defensive end of the ball, and we didn't compete that way. We didn't rebound that way, and I think that hurt us down the stretch. Having a couple guys hurt, you know, like DeMar, we had to play a certain way, you know. But when those guys were hurt, but to me, sports is about winning or losing, you know, like, and depending on where you are with your team and how you're trying to build and how you're trying to grow. The truth, Bob, is sports is about winning and losing, and we want to win, you know, so we have to go out there and put good teams together that's going to go out there and compete in a competitive league. We have to win, and I didn't do a good job of putting that team together, and hopefully now we got better a little bit defensively. We now maybe addressed a position that has really hurt us the last couple of years with the three position, and maybe now we have a couple guys that can rim protect a little bit. We have a couple guys that can stop the ball. Hopefully we can do better.
Masai, I'm curious, you said when you realized that it wasn't quite the team you envisioned back in January, what was your initial reaction? Did you try to fix it all then, or did you know you were just going to have to kind of bite the bullet and wait till the offseason to really revamp the team?
Well, you know, when you're in that position, when you start looking at trades and things that you can do, we talk about 100 trades, but then all of a sudden there's only one or two that come to life, if any, you know. So there was nothing then that really made sense for us, and there was no player at the time that we could get that made sense for our team. So we also had, you know, some contracts that we had inherited, you know, and sometimes it takes time and patience to kind of let these guys, let these contracts pass through, and then you kind of start drafting and building the way maybe you want to compose a team. So sometimes you have to be patient that way, but we realized it early, and even when we realized it, guys, honestly, you when you're in this position, you still hope for your team. You think it's a slump, you think it's, you know, you're just going through a bad patch, it's adversity, and you bounce back, you have a couple guys that are hurt, so you're trying. But at that time you start to get a sense, and we started to get a sense early in the year
with Masai Ujiri. Do you look at last year? I want to preface my question by asking this one. Was last year a success or a failure?
When you look at it, Bob, you know, like I try to look at it overall from my position. Again, I say, you know, like we still had contracts that were on our books. We're still building. We took over the team a couple years ago. So in some ways, you know, I look at it as disappointing. I mean, in the end, as a competitor, I look at it as a failure, 100%.
Fair enough.
Yes. So, but for me, when you're building and you're building long term, I think many of the things that we've achieved in we've been in the playoffs the last couple of years. I think we've played competitively the last couple of years. Players have gotten better, so I think we're a growing team, and I think we'll continue to grow.
The follow-up question is, what does this team have to accomplish in order for this nucleus to essentially stay together? Because while you've made changes this year, Masai, you know, your big four guys are still there. The guys that you I think, have built this team around are essentially still there. There has to come a point where the bar goes up a little bit, or maybe a lot. And I'm wondering whether this is a year where you look very carefully at the nucleus of guys that you've built this team around, trying to assess whether they are capable of taking you to the next level. True or not?
Yeah, true. 100%. You have to. But that's with everything, Bob. Whether young players growing, our core players, you know, growing too, and taking it to another level. I think they see that challenge. All these players see it. I could tell in the coaches' meeting and players' meeting yesterday. I can see it in their eyes. I can see the way they talk, whether it's Kyle, DeMar, whether it's Jonas, Terrence, all these guys you talk about as core guys, or the young group. When I look at our back 11 to 15 guys, and I look at DeLon, I look at Norman, I look at Bruno, I look at Bennett, and I look at Bebe, and I think, okay, those five young guys, you know, that, as our back five, we have four first round picks in the next 2 years.
Yep.
I think it, you know, we're starting to accumulate a little bit. Hopefully, these guys can become players and grow, and our core guys can step it up with the addition of, you know, whether it's Damari Carroll or Corey Joseph or Biombo or these or Scola, or these guys that can play a great role on our team. So, you know, with sports, sometimes it looks a certain way on paper, and until you actually go play and find that chemistry and go out there and compete on the court, you never know. So we'll begin to figure out in training camp, and then we'll know once the ball gets thrown up.
Well, it's underway. Training camp has begun. Masai, it's good of you, as always, to take time for us. We look forward to chatting with you once things get going for real. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Ken. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Masai Ujiri, the general manager and president of the Toronto Raptors.